My goal with this morning's message is I don't want, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but this is a message I feel is really heavy on my heart, and I've asked the Lord to help me be able to communicate clearly what it is that He wants me to say. And so what I want to say through this morning is I want to show you through Scripture that the Holy Spirit is for you, and the Holy Spirit is for today. That every believer was intended by God to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to show you that through Scripture. So, if you're taking notes, be ready to write quickly, because I'm going to say a few verses that are not going to be on the screen. But here in Numbers chapter 11, verse 29, I do need to give you some backstory so that you understand why he's saying this. So the people of God, the people of Israel, have been delivered out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery. Moses is their leader. If you've read in your Bible, you've been in church very long, you understand these things, this account. But what was going on here in chapter 11 here of Numbers? Moses had led the people out of Egypt. God had delivered them, okay? But Moses was their leader on the earth in that regard, leading him, okay? And so what was going on was they left Egypt and they're on their way to the Promised Land, probably a trip that would only have taken a couple of weeks, and they ended up taking 40 years to do it, okay? Not just because they got lost, but because of this. And please don't misunderstand, if you go back and read this chapter, I'm in no way trying to insinuate that I'm upset like Moses was and frustrated like Moses was. But what was going on in this chapter was Moses was frustrated because the people, as a matter of fact, God was frustrated with the people because they kept complaining. They kept whining. And they would say things like this to each other. Man, don't you remember back in Egypt when we had all the fish to eat that we wanted for free? Don't you remember we had those lentils? And man, life was so good back then. And God is taking this personally because, and he's saying, hey, you're talking bad, you're talking against me, you're speaking against me and what I've done. And that's kind of the angle that Moses was coming from too, saying, God, I can't provide everything for these people, Lord. And so there's not a whole lot of provisions in the desert, right? But God ended up providing for them everything that they needed. Matter of fact, he eventually, not in this account, but later on, he provided manna from heaven.
Amen.
Something that fell down every day like the dew from the sky that they could eat. Didn't cost them anything. They just had to go out and collect it and then work at making it into a meal. God was getting frustrated and Moses was getting frustrated because the people would continually complain. It doesn't make any sense because, man, I miss Egypt. I miss my slavery, right? That doesn't make sense. It doesn't compute. And so Moses is trying to deal with this the best way that he knows how. And he says, God, would you help me with this? Lord, help me give... Why don't you speak to some other leaders as well that can come along and help me? And so what God did was he said, Moses, gather those elders around, go around the tabernacle, and I'm going to do what you've asked. And so he lets them know, he lets those elders know, and so there's like 70 of them, and they come and they gather around the tabernacle, which represented the church. They come around the tabernacle. And God said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on these men as well, Moses. I'm going to take from the spirit that I've given you, and I'm going to kind of divvy it up on them as well. And so when God did that, he began, these elders began to prophesy. Okay? And matter of fact, there was two of them that were not there at the tabernacle. They were in their own clan. And they began to prophesy as well. These two that were not around the tabernacle. And so others heard that, and it came, Joshua found out about it. Somebody let Joshua know. Joshua hustles up to Moses, and he says, hey, Moses, we have a little problem. Okay, what's the problem? There are Moses, there are two other men that are prophesying, and it's not you. Moses, you're going to see here in this verse how Moses responds, and he's basically saying, hey, this isn't a problem. This is a good thing, friend. So look, he says, are you jealous for my sake? And I want to, this is kind of how I feel about the Holy Spirit in our day. Okay? Yes. And I'm hoping that I can express this and explain this clearly to you this morning. But Moses replied to Joshua or others who brought this problem up to Moses. Are you jealous for me? Are you jealous? Are you bringing this up because you think that I'm hurt by it? Are you thinking that I don't want them prophesying and receiving the Spirit of the Lord? Is that what's going on? He says, he goes on, he helps him understand further. And basically, in fact, I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets.
Amen.
And that the Lord would put His Spirit on them all.
Amen.
I happen to believe this, that was prophetic.
Amen.
Moses was a prophet. Mm-hmm. And I happen to believe this was prophetic. And this is my view. And this is what I desire. And this week, saying, Lord, what do you want me to say on Sunday? Lord, what do our people need? And this is where He led me to. This is what He placed upon my heart. And my concern is this. Warsaw Assembly of God, we're a Pentecostal church. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and that they are for today. But I want to take it maybe a little further than you've ever heard it. And I believe that it was intended that every born-again believer, every person who believes that Jesus is the Lord and Savior, that every believer was intended by God to be filled. And I'm going to show you that in Scripture today. To be filled by the Holy Spirit. Does that mean that everybody will prophesy? Not exactly. There are many of those things that are beyond my comprehension. But what I believe is that we need to avail ourselves and make ourselves available to the Lord and say, okay, God. But instead, my concern is this, that in the past, or even as of lately, there are many, even in this body of believers, that have said, man, I'm thankful for what Jesus has done, but I don't need the Holy Spirit. That's a concern of mine. My goal today, I hope to be able to show you that is an inaccurate and unbiblical mindset. Okay? So, 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 20. Again, this is Old Testament. Excuse me. Let me make a disclaimer here before I read any of this or tell you anything about this particular passage. I'm kind of taking this out of context, okay? But I want to explain what was going on, and then I want to show you what I believe is going on here, and I think that you'll be able to see how it connects to what I'm saying, what I'm talking about this morning. So in this chapter, what was going on in the background here was there was a young king. His name was Joash. He became king when he was like 7 years old or something like that. And he honored the Lord through his life because of a godly man, a godly priest named Jehoiada. And Jehoiada had influenced the king and therefore had influenced the nation to follow and serve God. But Jehoiada, he came to the end of his life. And then others came in and persuaded the king in a negative way to... Basically, what they did was they turned their backs on the Lord. They turned their backs on God and they began to worship Asherah poles and worship other gods, okay? And so that was a problem. And so then in this verse, the priest's son, Zechariah, the Holy Spirit spoke through him. And here's what he said in verse 20. The Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, son of Jehoiada, the priest. He stood before the people and said, "This is what God says. Why do you disobey?" Now again, I understand this is not exactly what he was saying, but I wanted you to see how it applies, or how I believe that it applies. "Why do you disobey the Lord's commands and keep yourselves from prospering?" Now, prospering there is not just financial blessings. How many of you know that? Amen. You cannot. There's a lot of things money can't buy. Amen. Money cannot buy you peace with God Almighty. It will never do a thing toward that. It doesn't matter how many billions of dollars you threw at God. He'd look and laugh and say, "Don't you know that I own the cattle on 1,000 hills? Don't you know that I own everything in the first place?" But here, Zechariah, by the Spirit of God, says, "Why do you disobey the Lord's commands and keep yourselves from prospering?" And I'm applying it to the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is, and who the Holy Spirit wants to be in our lives, in your life. Why would you want to disobey God and disobey what God would have for you? And this morning I'm referring to the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why would you disobey God's command and instead keep yourself from prospering? Just let that sink in for a second. I'm going to try to take you through some other scriptures to show you who the Holy Spirit is. Matter of fact, I think what I'm going to do is we're going to give you a time to respond this morning. But I'm barely scratching the surface on this topic. So tonight I'm going to preach on this again. Not the same message. I'm going to throw some other aspects of it in. And if you're interested in this and you have questions and you want to be filled with the Spirit, or you want to simply learn more, I want to invite you back tonight, 6 o'clock. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. John the Baptist, who was the forerunner, he is the one that came to prepare the way for Jesus. He said this, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, "I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am." Amen, right? Amen. "He's so much greater that I'm not even worthy to be able to be his slave or carry his sandals. He, that's Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." The prophet John the Baptist said that. This Jesus is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Next verse, Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Because you see, and we're going to get to it here in a few verses, but John the Baptist was able to say that because he knew some of the Old Testament. Okay, I'm going to take you there in a minute. Before we do that, Luke 24, verse 49. Jesus here is speaking. He says, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit." There's a particular word in here I want you to notice. "And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised." Can I say that? Well, before I do that, maybe somebody's tried to ask you, maybe it's been an employer or a friend or really a lot of different ways that it could go down, but somebody ever tried to get you to lie for them? And you knew that that would be wrong in your heart of hearts, right? As a matter of fact, you probably said, there's probably been a time where you just went ahead and lied. But then once you realize the importance of telling the truth, you said, "Hey, I want to help you out, and I'll do what you've asked me to do, but I'm not lying for you." Right? Mm-hmm. That kind of rises up within you. You know what I'm saying? Well, listen, God promised the Holy Spirit. God will not lie. He can do anything except lie. He will not do it. Just like you don't like to lie, and you've stood up and said, no, I can't do that. God is more holy than we are. He's not going to lie. So if he tells you he's going to do something, guess what? He's going to do it. That's a promise. You can take it to the bank. And Jesus says, and now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you, check this out, with power from heaven.
Amen.
I think that's one of the keys of who the Holy Spirit is. He is the power that we need from heaven. Wouldn't you say that the days that we're living in are pretty dark? I would.
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting kind of tired of all the lies and manipulation. All the deception.
Amen.
We need the Holy Spirit today. I want to point out something else in John chapter 7, verse 39. It says here, when he said living water, he was speaking of the Holy Spirit who had been given, who would be given to everyone. At that point, it was still in the future. Okay? Now it's not in the future. It's active. The Holy Spirit is active right now. Which is interesting because the Holy Spirit, as we already read, was moving in Moses and then the other elders. And then we read the scripture about Zechariah. He was filled with the Spirit of God, right? So the Holy Spirit's been there. Matter of fact, we believe that the Holy Spirit was there when God created everything because we believe in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are one. They are the same. They have different functions, different roles, but the same God. So the Holy Spirit is God. And I just floored some of you with that statement. He really just say that. Think about it. The Holy Spirit is God.
Amen.
But when he said living water, he was speaking of the Holy Spirit who would be given, check it out, to everyone believing in him. Again, the Holy Spirit is for everyone who calls Jesus Lord.
Amen.
I just won't have enough time today to take you to all the different scriptures that I would want to. That's why I'm going to do it again tonight. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. We know that Jesus also told his disciples, listen, it's going to be good that I'm going to leave. I've got to go, but it's going to be good. It's going to be beneficial for you. Because not until I leave can I send you the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's what he told his disciples. And so then with all of that, we're understanding, we're seeing through the scripture that the Holy Spirit was the promise of the Father, which we're still going to look at. I'm going to take you to an Old Testament passage. You'll see that if you haven't seen that one before. But also Acts chapter 1, verse 8 right here is going to tell us again about the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, hey guys, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. See, this is the whole key. This is the whole point of who the Holy Spirit is in our life. To lead us, to guide us, and to help us to tell people about Jesus everywhere. Whether it's in Jerusalem, Judea, in Samaria, or to the ends of the earth. In other words, so that you can tell people about Jesus in your sphere of influence, or in Warsaw, or the surrounding communities, or anywhere you go. Yeah, I hope that makes sense. So that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit in our life. To give us power to be able to be witnesses, power to be able to share with other people who Jesus is in our life. We need that power, don't we? We need that power in these dark days. Excuse me. So now we're going to turn to Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Peter also quotes this particular verse in Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, he starts it out by saying, in the last days, is how Peter starts that out in his first message. And we're going to look at more of his message, that first sermon, in a moment. But Peter starts it out and says, in the last days. Well, let me ask you. if Peter on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on them in tongues of fire, that very first time, when they were there in that room and they were praying, and right after Jesus said, "Hey, go away," and I just read it to you, and that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speaking in other tongues. Other people heard them and were like, "What's going on?" And then Peter rises up. He stands up and he explains what's going on. Hey, he begins to preach about Jesus, and then he says, "Hey, listen. This was the promise. This was the promise. What you're seeing today, what you're hearing today, what has transpired today is what Joel told us about. That in the last days." Now, wouldn't you consider if Peter thought that those were the last days, wouldn't you think that we would now also be in the last days? I would think so. Yeah, that was like close to 2,000 years ago. So I would think that we are still in the last days. I'm making this point because some people think that the Holy Spirit was yes for then, but not for today. I think that's a deception. I think it's a lie. But let me ask this question. Who would not want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit?
The devil.
It's pretty clear to me the devil wouldn't want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the one who's going to provide power and help lead and direct your life and teach you all things. That's what John tells us. Okay, back to Joel 2:28. "In the last days I will pour out my Spirit upon all people." Oh, come on.
Yeah.
"Your sons and your daughters will prophesy like Moses did, like Zechariah did, like so many others did. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions." Come on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do it, Lord. Do it in our day. He is doing it. Don't bury your head in the sand. God is showing himself to Muslims through visions, through dreams. He's showing up to them in our day. So don't tell me that God doesn't do that stuff anymore. Because he does.
Amen.
Why do we? Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. Okay, this is at the conclusion, maybe in the middle of Peter's sermon, his first sermon. And he says, because they asked, what should we do? And he says, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God." I said this in the first service. Nobody likes to admit when we're wrong. But I'm telling you, you can't get to heaven if you don't. Repent of your sins and turn to God. Repentance is saying, "Lord, forgive me. I have done wrong. I have sinned against you. I've hurt you, or I've hurt others, or all the above. Forgive me. I'm turning away from that old stuff and I'm turning to you. I want nothing but you and who you are." That's repentance. It's a change of direction. It's a change in what you're running after. And it's a who. His name is Jesus. But here, Peter says, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God." Check this out. The next part, he says, "And be baptized." Okay, there's our baptismal back there. This is talking about water baptism. You've got to be saved. You've got to repent. Give your heart to Christ. Then you need to be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, period. Some people omit this next sentence. But you cannot. I believe it's vital to the gospel. Then, after you've repented and given your heart to Christ, and after you have been baptized in water, if you haven't been baptized in water and you want to be baptized in water, we get you all the way wet, all the way under, because that's how we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We want to be filled all the way. Okay? Not just a little bit. If you need to be baptized in water, you desire to do that, come talk to me sometime. We'll arrange that. But look there, he says, then, after those two things happen, okay, kind of explaining it as another step, okay, and let me help you to understand that salvation happens that moment that we say, "Lord, forgive me, come into my heart, but I've done wrong. I believe in that moment you're changed on the inside. I believe that He comes in and lives in you by His Spirit. But there is still a separate and distinct work of the Holy Spirit, and that's called the baptism or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Look through your scriptures. Look through it and understand that. It's in there. Go to, and I'm probably going to hit there tonight, Acts chapter 19, Acts chapter 8. You're going to see others who come to talk to believers. Others who come to talk to believers and say, hey, now that you believe, now we want to pray that you're filled with the Spirit. Okay? Listen, I understand some people are scared of the Holy Spirit. You're scared of this topic. There's no need to be afraid. Are you afraid of God? Or are you afraid of what He's going to ask you to give up? There's no need to be afraid. Let me go back to that word that I mentioned earlier. He wants you to prosper. The Lord wants you to prosper. So if He's going to ask us to give up something or to go and do something, you know what? In reality, let's say you're filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to use you to speak into somebody's life. Maybe it's a word of wisdom and to help guide their life. Then by giving, because you just yielded yourself to the Lord and you gave and you said, okay, God, if you want to use me that way, you're free to use me however you want. I'm the puppet. You're the master. Right? God, you can use me however you want to. And then somebody else is blessed because you just obeyed and served and gave. And guess who else is blessed? You, who just gave. Yeah. That's how you can receive by also giving, right? Yeah. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Salvation, then baptism in the Spirit. Okay? And sometimes in Acts chapter 10, it happened at the same time. Go check it out at Cornelius' house. Acts chapter 10, one of my favorite stories of all time. Excuse me. Verse 39, we're going to look. He says this word again. And this is a continuation of Peter's sermon. And he's going on, okay, because he just said, then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise. See, there it is again. This promise. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those who are far away. All who have been called by the Lord our God. This promise, this Holy Spirit is for everybody. The Holy Spirit is for you today and anyone else. I believe that the Holy Spirit is for everyone who calls Jesus Lord. And I hope that I have done a decent job. I know I can't because of time, and you'll eventually stop listening because it's hard to pay that much attention that long. There's a lot of different verses I could take you to. Okay? I mentioned a couple of them. Love to continue this on tonight or another time if you would so desire. But this morning, I'm going to give an opportunity. My wife is going to come to the piano. I believe that it is important for us to respond to the Word of God. So, therefore, we're going to open up these altars. If the Holy Spirit is convincing you and helping you to see that you need Him, then I'm going to invite you to the front. Again, first, there's got to be salvation. There's got to be that repentance. If you recognize that the Holy Spirit is for you today, the Holy Spirit was intended to fill each and every one of us, and you haven't been filled, because you can be born again and not be filled. Okay? But if that's you tonight, if that's you, I'm going to invite you to the front to respond to the Word of God, to respond to the stirring of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to pray for you. We're going to believe that God wants to fill you. Matter of fact, I mentioned Acts chapter 10. While Peter was still preaching about Jesus, the Holy Spirit said, boom, and he landed on everybody there. And they just began to speak in other tongues. The passage of tongues, that's what scares me. There's no need to be afraid. But I think the reason I think the Lord wants to use tongues in our life is so that we will yield this important. James tells us that the tongue is like a rudder, taking a large ship wherever you want it to go, or a horse, like a horse, a bridle in a horse's mouth, a bit. And if we will yield our tongue, our mouth, to the Lord, if we will yield our mouth and the things that we say, and even, matter of fact, I believe that Romans tells us and helps us to understand that if when we pray in the Holy Spirit, we pray in that prayer language, that heavenly language, that tongue, a different tongue. When we pray in that, we're praying the will of God. Because in that passage in Romans tells us that who knows the mind of God except for the Spirit of God. So when I yield myself and I pray in tongues, and you yield yourself and you pray in tongues, then you've just stepped into praying the will of God, the way that I understand that scripture. That's pretty important, I think. Because I don't know the mind of God, but the Holy Spirit certainly does. So this morning, the Holy Spirit is stirring you. I'm going to invite you to the front. And if not, that's okay. I'm going to challenge you to just continue to worship. I'm going to challenge you to continue to worship. You can close your eyes. You can sit. You can pray. You can seek His face. You can pray for this, our friend. Let's pursue Him in these next several minutes before we dismiss. Let's pursue the Lord. And you know what? You might still be having questions. That's okay. It's okay. Ask the Lord. Lord, is what He's saying accurate? I challenge you to go back and search the scriptures. Don't just take my word for it on this or anything else. Search the scriptures yourself. Praise the Lord. Let's seek Him.